Wait, hey, Mom, you want to say hi? It's good podcast content.
So, here's the magic number.
The magic number is 2?
Yes. Can you tell me what it's the number of at the ACCU conference?
I do not know.
Well, I just came back from the bar, and I counted 2 women. Amongst maybe, oh, I don't know, 50 or 60 computer bros.
Welcome to ADSP, the podcast, episode 179, recorded on April 17th, 2024. My name is Connor, and today with my co-host Bryce, we chat about the problem that took Twitter by storm, check grade, get a guest appearance from Bryce's mom, and talk about our acceptances to the CPP North Conference.
So we got to talk about one other thing, because it's so topical, and you're just going to have to find a way to work it into... You're just going to have to find a way to work it in. Sorry.
We will see. Maybe not.
let's talk about check grade.
Oh yeah.
Do you want to summarize for the listener what check grade is?
No. You're the one that brought the tweet up. So you tell your story how you, because I only stumbled across it because you sent it to me. So you tell the origin story.
So check grade has been a collective Twitter code golf moment that has been unfolding this week, where some poor soul tweeted about this problem, and then everybody on the internet and their dog had an opinion, and at first there were a lot of serious opinions and responses posted, and then there were a lot of amusing ones posted. The problem is, so we got a function check grade. Check grade takes an integer that is a score or a grade. So it's between 0 and 100. And it's going to return you a string, or really just a character, of a letter grade. A being 90 and up to 100, or really 90 and higher. B being 80 up to 90, C being 70 up to 80, D being 60 up to 70, and F being anything below 60. So this poor soul called this the arrow anti-pattern, because the first version that he wrote or that he tweeted about had like a big nested if loop, a bunch of nested if statements. Sorry. So he had like an if score is larger than or equal to 90, then return A, else, and then the else logic had, if score larger than or equal to 80, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, recursing down to handling, all the cases. His refactoring that he posted as a reply, and this guy was writing code in Java. We're not going to hold that against him. His refactoring, he creates a dictionary of integers to strings, and then looks them up in the dictionary. And that is not the worst possible solution, but it's a pretty bad one. Because like why use a dictionary when you could just use a simple array. And some people posted responses that just used a lookup into a simple array. But as other people pointed out, anything that's going to involve a memory access is going to potentially be slow, and you could just do some clever math instead. And it just sort of spiraled out, and people had opinions about should you do this with a switch statement? Is it okay to use early returns? Just switch over the grades, or just have it some if statements with early returns? If you look at the if statement with early return, it does look pretty elegant, but apparently some people really dislike early returns. I think I saw Jonathan Mueller post something about it. I started seeing a bunch of C++ people posting about it. And my first and immediate reaction was, well, okay, how do we write this in a way that can be lowered down into SIMD masks and will not actually have any branching? And some people came up with clever solutions that'll do that. I don't have any of them in front of me, but there's some stuff you can do with some like divisions and some and multiplications and some clever math where it'll just get you to the right answer and without needing any actual branching. It may not be the cleanest code, but it is going to be pretty fast code, or at the very least, pretty. I'll stick with fast. It may not be efficient code because it may be doing maybe more math heavy than you'd want, but in a parallel context, that's fine if it avoids thread divergence. Yeah, but I suppose I just wanted to get my two cents in on this. I suppose the solutions I probably liked best were those clever mathy ones, or the like lookup in a constant array ones, because I think that a compiler will lower the lookup in an array down to something pretty good. Into some sort of like jump table or something, or it'll just lower it down into the clever math. But I haven't looked at that deeply. But I do generally feel for this fellow who posted this solution, who posted this problem, because it got 600 retweets and 4 million views, and a lot of people shit on his answer. I think somebody, wanting to find a better way of doing things, even if their first attempt isn't that great, just getting out there and making the effort and asking for help is that's more than what a lot of people do. So, I feel like that should be encouraged, not punished by the internet.
Yep, we will link the tweet. My couple thoughts are, one, I don't see what's wrong with early return. I mean, if it was in Python,
yeah, right,
and you were using a rough linter, literally you could have just gone rough fix. I should make a YouTube video. I'll make a YouTube video.
What where is rough?
Rough, R-U-F-F. It's basically a implementation of every single type checker, linter, pep standard, formatter. It's imagine all of the stuff in C++, clang format, clang tidy, asan, fsan, all the sanitizers, all the linters, CPP check, include what you use. Imagine someone created a tool that just re-implements all of that, and they re-implemented it in Rust. That's what basically this rough project is for Python. So if you've heard of MyPy as a type checker, or if you've heard of, the PEP8, standards and linters and stuff, they're implementing all of it. So the point is I don't actually know which one of the linters warns you about early return, but one of them does. And rough comes with the similar to clang format and clang tidy, where you can give it a dash dash fix and it'll just fix it for you. And if you were to do this, if greater than 90 print or return this, else then it indent, indent, indent. I'm pretty sure rough would just collapse all of that into five if statements with returns. Because the lint says you don't need an else when the only your previous branch is returning, which I think is completely great. The sad thing about Python formatting is that it's going to put the return on a separate line, whereas I think it looks a lot nicer if it's just on a single line. But hey, that's just my personal preference. My second thought, though, is all this fancy math that you describe in order to get lowered down into onto a SIMD. First of all, anyone ever says SIMD, that's just a fancy way of saying array programming. And second of all, it's not fancy math. My first thought was just do the early returns. It's totally fine.
You're just going to drop that on me and expect me to just take it?
Yeah. I've listened to an episode on what is Richard Feldman's podcast called? It should be called The Rock Programming Podcast, but it's called Functional something. Anyways, link in the description to the episode. And he has an episode where he talks to the implementer of SIMD JSON. And every little tool and technique that they describe in that episode is just array programming. Like, it's just array programming, building up masks instead of using ifs, etc., or finding indices.
Yes, but I'll put in the caveat that sometimes you have to write code in a very specific way to get it to vectorize correctly with a particular compiler or on a particular platform. That is not like, yeah, sometimes you use high level, like more abstract ideas to write code that's going to be SIMD efficient. But sometimes it's like, oh, well, you know, like we need to use, you know, this math operation here instead of that math operation, because on this particular x86 microarchitecture, you know, that's more efficient.
Okay, so sure, feel free to add that asterisk. But what I was going to say is that the fancy math is a subtraction, an integer division, and a maximum.
Yeah, but I think people don't like the fancy math because it's not so...
That's not fancy math. That's not fancy math. Binary operations?
People don't like it because it makes it a lot less clear what the function is doing. It does make it faster, and I would definitely write that. Like, and if you want to know what the function's doing, like, put the slow version in the comments. Like, put the version that's easy to read, like that's clear and concise. Just put that in the comments, right? And then put the fast thing that like is not as clear, like in the code.
I think it's a red herring to say that it's harder to read. Just people can look at an if, you know, a set of if statements and returns, and I guess because they're used to if statements and returns, but like calculating an index and indexing into a string inside a one-line function that's called check grade, I don't think like anybody would have any...
Nah, buddy, I disagree strongly. I think like if a human like thinks about like how our head processes it, like how we would think about it and describe it to other people, we would describe it closer to the early return if version than to the indexing into a string.
This is why I said the other episode that the array community is the best community, because they think the right way. Everyone, it's easier for people to think about it that way because that's just the way that they've been reading code and writing code the whole time. But if you're used to seeing this, like...
You're such an array language nationalist.
I don't think it has anything to do with nationalism, but, you know, replace that word with another word and sure, sign me up. It's the right way. It's the way to think. Everybody's hopping on the bandwagon. I mean, you hopped on the bandwagon. It's great, folks. We'll link the SIMD JSON episode. We'll link the tweet.
There's an answer here that I got to show you that I think is somebody's serious answer, but I deeply hope it's somebody's joke answer.
Wait, it hasn't shared yet.
I mean, maybe it's not so bad. No, it's pretty bad, right? So what this person has is they have a switch statement where they've got, you know, case 100, and then they have case 99, colon case 98, colon case 97, colon case 96, colon case 95, colon all the way down to case 90. And they have formatted it nicely. And looking at it, it is not as bad as I thought because, you know, there's not actually that many cases that you have to handle. You only have to have like 40 cases and then you can default to F for the rest. But yeah, there's one person who seemed to... And of course, the person wrote, C has a simple and elegant solution to this. So I'm going to assume they're a C person, which is why they would consider this to be serious code. But yeah, their solution is just a switch statement with 41 cases and some nice formatting.
Yeah, I don't know why you would do this over the if returns, but I'm pretty sure he's just trolling or they're just trolling.
I don't think they're trolling because I've seen people's answers to this who are not trolling and they make it a lot more ridiculous. This to me is somebody's attempt to make this particular approach look elegant. Oh, I mean, I don't know. It's not like it does actually look not that bad. Looking at 41 case statements here. Like, it's not as ugly as I thought it was going to be. But still, like, you know, like, think about it. Like, think how bug prone this is. Like, all you have to do is make one mistake in one of these. Like, you know, like, you accidentally, you wrote case 95 twice. And you left out case 94. And then you've got this inscrutable bug in your code. Oh, people.
Well, there you have it, folks. Hopefully ACCU is good. I mean, by the time the listener's hearing me say that, ACCU is over. But I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah. I'm going to see you in July because I'm going to C++ North.
I'll keep that in. Yeah, congrats. Which talk? I also got accepted as well, so we'll both, you know, if you're going to
CPP North. Well, my talk, Think Parallel, got accepted, but I do not know what version of Think Parallel people will be seeing at C++ North. It might be a refinement of Think Parallel scans. It might be a different Think Parallel part.
Oh, you gotta bring us part two, because by that point, the ACCU one will be online. And then yeah. you gotta keep the content coming. You've already talked
I
about
think it'll
part two.
I think that C++ North will likely be the rolling reduce one.
And that's fantastic, because my talk is also a part two talk, not of an ACCU talk, but of the talk that I gave last year, Composition Intuition. So we'll both be giving part two talks, which
you gotta tell them to not schedule us against each other, because I want to see your talk.
That should be fine. I mean, ours are too closely related, right? Like algorithms and algorithms, you know?
Yeah. The talk I was really excited for at this conference is now scheduled at the same time as my talk. So
that's unfortunate.
Funny. And yes, Kevlin, I am talking about your talk.
Wow. Well, yeah. Hopefully you get to see it online. I know that Bjorn Faller, he's given the closing keynote, and I always love his talks. So that should be...
I'm pretty sure I will not be around for that because I'm going to be on a plane briefly after my talk, going to Dingle, Ireland. And if you've never heard of Dingle, Ireland, that's because it is in the middle of nowhere. It is in Kerry County on the far west, southwest part of Ireland. So yeah, I'll be there for a little while.
Fun. Why are you going there? Just for fun?
My mom has a friend who has a house there, so we're going there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Look at you, globetrotting. Globetrotting?
Yes. It's bad, man. It's bad. I have, so the American Airlines, status qualifying year starts March 1st. And it's April 17th, and I have already nearly requalified for the top tier American Airlines status. I gotta take a break. I've been on the road too much.
Your carbon footprint is probably yes. Gotta be one of the worst. Gotta be one of the worst.
I am one of the worst. Yeah, I am. All right. Well, wait. Hey, Mom, you want to say hi? It's good podcast content.
So, here's the magic number.
The magic number is 2?
Yes. Can you tell me what it's the number of at the ACCU conference?
I do not know.
Well, I just came back from the bar, and I counted 2 women. 2 women amongst maybe, 50 or 60 computer bros. What's with that?
I think that that's probably an accurate ratio, although yeah, I note that 2 of the keynotes are women.
Well, maybe they were both there. I did actually think that the count was going to be 3 on my way to the elevator. However, it was just a guy with long hair and a ponytail.
Bryce's mom doing damage in her first appearance on the podcast.
That's not damage. This is. I think it's amazing that this. I was like, what is this
it's
going
damage
on?
To whoever had the long hair. Anyways,
yeah, I'll look into it. I'll make it happen, folks. Okay. If I have to wake up at, you know, 3 a.m. It's not the most difficult thing I've had to do for ADSP, the podcast. We will do it.
What is the most difficult thing you've had to do for ADSP, the podcast?
One time I had norovirus when I was in Mexico on vacation, and I was deathly ill for like 48 hours, and the podcast had to be launched in that window of time. Luckily, it had been edited, but yeah, I was barely moving and just curled up in a fetal position.
You were in Mexico dying of a virus and you still posted the podcast. And this is the first I've ever heard of this.
Really? You know, did I never mention it?
You never mentioned it. Which is bad because, like, most podcast co-hosts, like, you know, if you were dying of something, you'd be able to contact your co-host and be like, hey, can you do this week? But I'm not that type of co-host.
No, you're not. And it's only like 10 minutes of work, the actual publishing / posting of it, once it's edited. So it still wasn't, you know, I hadn't broken my leg and was in the hospital and then had to get someone to bring my laptop so I could edit it while on, you know.
But you do have a plan like in case you've broken your leg and are in the hospital.
I don't, you know.
I'll tell you what, Connor. If you are under general anesthesia, nothing local, but if you're under general anesthesia, I will take responsibility for getting the podcast posted.
Sure. I mean, really, my backup plan is if like everything really goes terribly, all we need to do is record, and then I just won't edit it. That you know, we'll splice the tracks and it'll be like episode whatever 273. I feel like I should knock on wood there because that's gonna be the one where I'm in the hospital, and then we'll just ship it. There'll be no jingle, there'll be no intro, and it will be explained in the unedited version, and there won't be any show notes or anything, but it'll still get released as long as it gets published. That's all that matters truly at the end of the day for us to hit our
consistency.
You know, weeks. What is it? 179 at this point, as of this episode going out. So we're getting there. You know, we're getting there.
Wait. Is episode 200 gonna potentially be recorded when we're at C++ North?
No, I believe episode 200, which is 30 episodes away, plus or minus, and it's like 4 in a month. So that's gonna be several months. I think it's gonna be in September of this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I really should go because I desperately want to get to the gym.
Alrighty. Good chatting. Enjoy the conference. Okay. And
any last words, Mom?
Have a good time at the gym and break your leg on during your talk.
Thank you. All right.
Be sure to check the show notes either in your podcast app or at adspthepodcast.com for links to anything we mentioned in today's episode, as well as a link to a GitHub discussion where you can leave thoughts, comments, and questions. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed and have a great day.
Low quality, high quantity. That is the tagline of our podcast.
It's not the tagline. Our tagline is chaos with sprinkles of information.